Hello, hello listeners, and welcome back to another exciting, enthralling, and always hilarious edition of the Dual Screens Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Asimakis. Once again, flying solo. We were jam-packed last week with three hosts and one guest, and now it's back down to little old me. But it's okay. I'll carry the day like I usually do. And joining me this week is Grigor Ebert. I think I butchered that name a little bit, but he is the PR manager for Head Up Games, publisher of Pumpkin Jack, Bridge Constructor Portal, and The Walking Dead, The Chroma 2, and just countless, countless other games. Grigor, welcome to the show. Yeah, how's it going, buddy?
Hi, I'm very happy to be here. Thanks for having me. And I'm very excited about answering your questions. So let's see. Actually, I'm sitting in Cologne, by the way. Our company is in Düren. That's near to Cologne in Germany. But I'm at my girlfriend's place this Saturday. And I'm sitting here now.
You know, we've had very few developer guests that come from Germany. We've had the developer for CrossCode on the show before. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it's a very small market, the game in the industry,
yeah,
Germany as a whole. But we'll get into that in a little while. But for those of you who are new to the show, like Grigor here, this is, of course, the Dual Screens Podcast. This is the world's number one indie developer interview podcast ever, maybe.
And it's possibly a pleasure to be on it.
Actually. Yes. And also, I'm a little mad at you because you were like, your English not so good via email, but you sound amazing to me. I've had guests who've had like a translator like on standby just in case they can't get a word or two. But you're doing just fine. So I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You sound like you talk better than I do sometimes.
Yeah, let's wait. But right now, I think it's okay. Yes, everything should be okay. What I'm talking and everybody should be able to understand it. Actually,
so we're used to getting. We'll just dive right in here. We're used to getting a lot of guests on the show who are talking about the development side of things. You know, how a game gets goes from a concept to a hobby to an actual full-fledged game. Now it's a real thing. I gotta do a Kickstarter. I gotta get funding. I gotta find a publisher. But this is a unique one because you are on the other side. You're on the PR side of a publishing company. Mm-hmm. And you've done PR for some of my most favorite games. Recently, Pumpkin Jack, Chroma 2, yep, which I love, Cult Canyon. And I think the first thing I want to ask you is, what is your response as a PR person to what's going on right now with CD Projekt Red and Cyberpunk? First of all, do you feel, thank God that's not my game?
Yeah, actually, I'm quite happy to be not in that position right now because it must be really heavy. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm playing the game myself on my PS5 and with nearly every breaking or what is it, a shutdown of the game, there's the possibility to send a error message to Sony, and I'm bombarding them with them.
Yeah, they'd be like, buddy, just do the refund. Happening. Just refund. Yeah. We'll pay you to refund the game.
I know, but I don't want to. The game is great, so that's not the case. But it's really buggy. So it's totally regardless where you are looking at, you will find some bugs. This will be a hard ride for them, actually. But they did their money, and I think they will be in the discussions for a long time from now. And this is another good thing. I thought about it, of course, because they will be in the news for months, I think, mm-hmm, because they will tweak things and will things get better, and they will be in daily daily news, I think. And
right.
That's a good thing, and of course it's a bad thing as well. But
right. Well, they say that, you know, that, yeah, well, that saying go about press, all press is good press, or even bad press is good press. Yeah, I don't know how exactly, I'm not a exactly, I don't know quotes. I don't know things.
It depends.
Or no such thing as bad press. That's how the quote goes. My brain finally turned on. So I want to ask you, as like a PR manager, let's say you're in this position, like how do you even tackle this? Like what's your first point of attack? How do you damage control a situation where you go from one of the most, the good guy of gaming, right? The best developer, publisher, you know, that I will release things for free. It's all going to be great. We're your best friends. And then you come out and you have a massive chunk of your audience can't play your game. How do you handle that as a PR manager? What would you have done? What do you do?
Actually, I think they don't talk too much about it. And I think that's a good thing to just wait just and ignore it. Just ignore it for at least for a little time. But of course, they will put out an statement about it. And I think they had already. But I would be quite quiet actually and wait for my developers to get things sorted and then perhaps talk to the masses again and say, oh, look here, it's much better now. so try to get it from the positive side. I don't know what I would do. Perhaps I would quit my job or whatever. I don't know, but it must be really hard to be in that position
and have
to think about how to sort things now, because it's really, really bad, and bad marketing and bad PR for especially. But on the other side, as I said, it is PR, and they will be in the news for weeks and months, and that's not so bad at all. So I don't want to say that was on purpose. It wasn't definitely.
Oh no, no one wants that.
No.
Nobody wants that.
But actually, there may be guys out there who would take this as an opportunity to be on the news every day, and this is not too bad at all. So, yeah, for a small indie developer, indie publisher like we are, it's often difficult to get in the news or on the news at all. So if you're in the news every day, that's not too bad. And from the big sites as well, it's not only a few sites who are talking, but all the
But I don't think you want to get in the news this way.
Yeah, that's right. If Sony put it down now from the stores,
and then we have Microsoft offering this blanket refunds. It's unheard of. We've seen buggy games before, like Fallout 76. We've been through, you know, any Bethesda game actually we can mention, but we've had games that release with bugs. It's, you know, we live in an age where we can patch things out if we need to day one. We accept it, we understand it. But to have a game that's just so, it's borderline unplayable. It's like, this has to come off our storefront because we can't let people buy this thing. It's like, it's ridiculous.
But the hype was so huge that
it
doesn't matter too much, because everybody who can afford the game will try to play it. And perhaps it will be even more worth now to play it on PS4 or PS5 because it's gone down. So like, what was this demo, PT demo, you can buy PS4s for several thousand dollars now for getting one with a PT on it, which is completely...
Oh my God.
But it's the case. So
if I'm ever that much strapped for cash, I can sell my PS4 with my PT pre-installed on it. I'm just mad that I have to basically hold on to my PS4 because I can't get PT on my PS5. Freaking Konami.
Right.
So ridiculous.
I mean, it's a 10 minutes or 20 minutes game. So after that, you're through and won't touch it again for months. So
see, now that is a genius PR move right there. Whoever thought of that campaign. See, that's lessons to learn from your end. So let's dive into a little bit about what you do and what games you're working on and what's up with Head Up Games. So Pumpkin Jack, I think, was the first game that really introduced me, because I've been playing Head Up Games for a long time, Coma and so forth, but I never knew it was that they were your games until I saw Pumpkin Jack.
Damn it.
I know. Well, I'm all about the game and the developer. Like me, publisher, it's unless you're like one of the big boys, it's hard to really put them in your brain, like in that catalog of publishers. But
yeah, I know.
But that changed now for me, because now I know, shit, Pumpkin Jack, it was an amazing game, and Head Up Games, which has a nice little cool like Moai statue logo going on. That's their thing. That's part of my, it's in there now forever. So I want to talk to you about, like, first of all, give us the PR sales pitch for what Pumpkin Jack is. And then we'll go into what was it about this game that made you guys say, we want this as part of our library. We want this as a Head Up publication.
Well, we saw it, and one of my colleagues brought it from, I think from one trade fair or something. And and we have our meetings in this time span of several months, we have some acquisition meetings. I don't know what the word in English actually. So we check and talk about the game that our guys, we have, I think, three guys mostly, they check out now new games, and they filter, of course, because we have many, many, many requests every week, and from developers, of course. And we saw that game and all played it a bit, and nearly everybody was quite confident with signing that. And then we went to the developers and made a contract about it. And from that point on, as usual, you will start to they have to finish the game first at all, and then you start with polishing the game and porting it to other devices and stuff like that. And usually we port games by ourselves, but this was on Unreal Engine, so the developer did it by himself with a colleague. But the main game and all the ideas and the assets and whatever was all done by one person. Mm-hmm. And that was another reason for us, because it looked so great. And of course, you always think about, how can I market something? And when such a great looking game is made by one guy alone, you have a great possibility to go out and say, look at this. This is made by one guy. And and this was the case here. In general, Pumpkin Jack is a third-person platformer. So if you like the older games, like what is it, Ratchet and Clank, mm-hmm. and I can't think about them right now. But
I mean, it gave me like a lot of medieval vibe.
Yeah, medieval. Yeah, game. Right. Yeah, yeah. And there are several great older games from the 90s actually and 20s.
Oh yeah, like, you know, Crash Bandicoot, Banjo-Kazooie, any kind of 3D platformer. Like,
yeah,
I think what you're saying, to your point, it's like, when I first saw this game, first I loved the art style, that gothic horror kind of vibe to it, how you're playing as one of Satan's minions. And then as we're playing the demo, you're like, oh yeah, this is a one-man team. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
what?
Excuse me? Like, this, because we come across stories where it's a one or two person team, but the level of detail, I mean, for it to first, it's usually a 2D sprite driven game, which mm-hmm. pixel art is hard to do. Sprites are really hard to get detail on, and to animate, it's a lot of work. But to see this fully realized, fleshed out 3D world, mm-hmm. and these great animations and assets, it's like,
absolutely,
one guy did this.
Yeah,
it looks better than, you know, like what a Banjo-Kazooie was, or a Medieval back, which had huge teams that were bigger than one person working on them.
Right.
I was just blown away.
He has a great feeling for atmosphere and for putting lights to the right places and adding some dust and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. everything looks very moody and mm-hmm. perfectly done for Halloween. Our release date was shortly before Halloween, so 8 days before. And of course, until Halloween, we sold many of the many copies of the game. So this was really exciting for us, and much work for me actually, because I had so many. I think I never had so many key requests, and mm-hmm. It was quite a crazy time. But it paid out actually. And one thing I wanted to say is that the idea of the game was actually that the developer, he's from France actually. Mm-hmm. He was searching for a game that was like the older third person games, like Kazoo and whatever. And as he didn't find anything on Steam, and he searched long, and he didn't find anything that really suits him, he thought, okay, then let me try to do my own game. Mm-hmm. And he actually didn't know anything about programming, and
it gets better.
Yeah, and he just got Unreal, and then he started to program his own game, and it became great. So I'm really excited about what he's doing next. He actually don't want to do anything anymore with Pumpkin Jack, if possible, because he can't see it anymore now after a few years. But I'm really excited about what he's going to do next, and I hope he will stay with Head Up, and we will have another success then. We will see.
Yeah, because I feel like when most people talk about, I'll make a retro aesthetic looking game, they think NES or SNES, like 16 or 8-bit graphics. But they don't think about, there's a whole era, that PS1, N64 era of games where that visual look, I think, is still holds up. If it's like with the best resolution you can get on it. Like if you play those old games on the emulator today, they look phenomenal. And yeah, I think aside from, I want to say, maybe A Hat in Time and Yooka-Laylee, which was a semi a bit of a flop, that was like, oh, look how great we are. We're the best parts of Rare. Are you though?
Actually, I tried it. I didn't like it as well. So if I can say it here, but
no, you can totally.
Yeah,
I mean, I was the same way. Like I was playing A Hat in Time. That's, you did it better than the guys who made Banjo-Kazooie did.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I love how his approach was, I can't find what I'm looking for, like to play on Steam. And Steam has a lot of games. So if you can, you can find the wildest shit. I mean, I took like a slight tangent. I took like a weird, like adults only rabbit hole lately, because I had some guests who made some adult only games, and there's a whole bunch. There's just, you can't even imagine what's out there. And you can't find a 3D platformer like in the old days, says a lot, that it's really lacking in gaming today. So I can see why. And it's become one of your most successful games by the reviews. I see you get so many reviews, and it's all positive scores. So like, congrats on that, and congrats to him for making such a phenomenal game.
Thank you very much. By the way, the game is right now, it received a winter update, Xmas update, 2 days ago. And it's now available for Steam or for PC in general, Switch and Xbox One. So you can play it here with some Xmas themed extras and a new custom where it snows around Jack if you run around. And and there's actually a discount right now on PC and Switch. So I think when this will send out here, will we send, it should be still active. So just have a look about it.
Well, you should tell Nicholas, who's a developer of Pumpkin Jack, he was trying to fill the void in our childhoods that we're missing today. Tell him that we need some more games like, a Chrono Trigger or a Xenogears, if he just wants to get some ideas for his next project. Maybe some of that.
but I'm not sure if he will be the right guy for it, but we will check.
Hey, listen, he'll learn. He'll learn.
Absolutely. He learns all the time. So he started with nothing.
So speaking of just unexpected like success stories and just things that do really well on Steam, Bridge Constructor Portal was another one that many of us thought we wouldn't see Portal again ever in the game because Valve can't count to three. And then when we did see it, it was like the most unlikely of collaborations between Bridge Constructor
absolutely
and Portal. And again, became one of your biggest successes on Steam.
Actually,
and elsewhere.
My boss had the idea. So he was meeting with the Bislang Traktor guys one day, and mm-hmm. they're sitting and drinking some beer or whatever, I don't know. And then they thought about what can we do, and his quick idea was, oh, let's try Portal and The Walking Dead. So,
oh, okay,
this was the start of that, and because he thought about what could be Bridge Constructor in the universe of Portal, because he likes Portal very much, actually. Mm-hmm. And they created a video,
like a pitch video?
Yeah, a pitch mm-hmm. video, like it could be look in the end. Mm-hmm. And
like
and
a concept video, basically, for them concept, to, yeah.
Right. And they sent it to Valve several times, actually. But as they are long-time developer partners from us, or partners for selling games, and we're working for years with them, one day they saw it and checked it, and they said, well, why not, shall we do that? And and then we started to really develop the game, so Bridge Constructor Portal. And when we put out the news that it will come actually 2 weeks before launch, it was really short. Mm-hmm. Everybody was, what the fuck's going on? A new Portal game? What? as you already said. And everybody thought, okay, it's just a Bridge Constructor game. It can't be good.
Right.
But everybody wanted to try it, of course. Mm-hmm. And they tried it. And as you can see on Metacritic, the reviews weren't too bad, because the game was really great. And the combination of Portal and Bridge Constructor was just ingenious. So I'm really thankful for our boss that he came with that idea.
And it sounds like whatever he says goes. He's like, I want to do a Portal and the Walking Dead. He's like your own little Cave Johnson. Make me a Portal and Bridge Constructor game. I want it now with the lemons.
Yeah, actually now it means 2 years later, or three, actually, I don't know. But those things take very much time to develop and to think about it and get everything right and get rid of bugs and whatever.
Right. Oh yeah, what an idea, getting rid of bugs. Yeah, that's something you should do.
It was
you're making a game.
It was a great idea, and it absolutely paid out. So we were very happy about this.
God, I could imagine him like sitting in his chair with a cigar, like, and that's why I'm the boss. This is why I'm in charge of you people.
No, not really.
I was like, what do I pay you for? All these ideas are mine. All these great ideas come from me. In your conversations with Valve, like, does anyone ask them, like, here's an idea, like, we love Portal so much, want to do a little collaboration between your mm-hmm. IP and ours. Do you say to them, when are you going to make a next Portal game? Like, how do you resist not asking them, like, what are you doing? Like, Steam is great. Steam is very self-sufficient. It makes you money. Mm-hmm. When are you going to make games again? Yeah, Half-Life, Alex, but that's where to sell your VR stuff. Like, when are you going to give us, like, a Portal or a Left 4 Dead? Because then we have other developers taking up and doing it themselves, like with Back 4 Blood, which is revealed.
Yeah, I saw it. And actually, I thought it would be Left 4 Dead, but it wasn't.
Yeah, yeah. But like, how do you resist not asking them? Hey guys, like, thanks for giving us letting us use your IP, but
perhaps they asked them. I wasn't there, but I think they didn't get a reply on that, because they wouldn't tell, and they can't tell, I think, because otherwise we would know already.
Or is it like, all right, we got the Portal license. Let's not piss them off. Let's just take it and make our game. We'll make our money.
Right.
And then after that deal is done, then we'll be like, get your asses in gear, guys. Like, make us a Portal game. It's been too long.
Actually, they are still our selling partners. Okay. We shouldn't be too.
Don't poke the bear too much. Yeah.
Right.
So that one's out now. And then we got not too long ago, last month, The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Which, again, it's like, now it's like, okay, what else are these guys? What are they going to do next? Portal, Walking Dead.
Actually, I don't know. Let's see what we will think of, and let's try to get it done in a Bridge Constructor style. But I don't know. Actually,
And what's the response been like so far for the Walking Dead meets Bridge Constructor game? Out now on Steam.
It was a bit mixed, actually. So not that well as Portal went, but in my opinion, it's still a great game, and especially for the Walking Dead fans, they should have a try and have a look, because I think they absolutely will like it, and the puzzles are even more difficult, and there are more gameplay mechanics in it since we had the last game. And for example, you can now control the guys and have to think about what they shall do. So they can walk a few meters to another point, and from there they can lob a grenade to the zombies, to the walkers there. And you will get rid of many walkers in the game, so that's for sure. And you will crunch them by heavy objects and run them over with cars and whatever. So everybody who doesn't like walkers will be very fine in the game.
Yeah, it's a tough thing, because I was over Halloween this year, I was glued to AMC because I do a little horror movie marathon. And every commercial break was just five different Walking Dead shows, and I was like, how many different shows are Beyond Fear? I'm like, I'm just sick of it. Like, get out of my face. I don't want to see this shit no more. Like, another one.
there are many. I know.
What would, let's say you were sitting in the boss's chair with the cigar in your mouth, and you were like, I want to put this in my constructor game, what would you pick? What would your idea be? Be it a movie franchise, a gaming franchise, or a TV show?
I would actually love to see another Time Splitters. Perhaps this would be.
Oh my god!
There are so many gadgets in there. You could.
Yes.
Perhaps that's a good idea. I will ask about it.
Yeah, we should ask about how was that remake or reboot that they've been doing for a bit? Didn't some team get the rights, or like they were trying to remaster some of the old games, or like?
But yeah, actually, they. Oh no! It was Perfect Dark, right? That was announced right now.
Yeah, oh, Perfect Dark came back. Yeah, that was a big deal.
Yeah, right. But it's the same universe, if you like to say that. It goes in the same direction, at least. We played it back then at the same time, I think, and first was Perfect Dark. I spent many weekends and hours on it, and days and years, perhaps. I don't know.
I mean, I would love
there was Time Splitters.
Yeah, the X-ray gun in Perfect Dark made multiplayer just so fun yet so miserable at the same time. But I really hope, at least with the new Perfect Dark game, that it captures like the imagination of the gadgets, like throwing a turret on a wall or stuff like that. Just because that game was all about that sci-fi aesthetic,
and the
tech.
Yeah, right.
It was like, let's take James Bond and put him like in the distant future with like really like tricked out gadgets.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope that stays true. But yeah, Time Splitters. Mm-hmm. Oh my god. Talk about a game we need more of. We need that back in our lives desperately.
Absolutely.
I think that should be our reward for Corona. Just give us Time Splitters. That's what we need. All right. So let's look ahead a little bit into what's going down the pipeline for Head Up Games. Of course, you guys publish a lot of shit. Like, I was going through your list. I was like, these guys have, one, been around for a long time, and then two, they have a fuck ton of games in their catalog. 11.
I think we are on the market for 11 years now, and we have way over 200 games released, be it on digital platforms or as a retail box in here in Germany. For example, we had Limbo and The Binding of Isaac and Frostpunk and Dead Cells. We had many of the good ones, actually.
And speaking of Limbo, like one of your upcoming games looks a little bit like it.
Oh yeah, Shadows. Yeah,
which reminds me, when the show is over, I'm going to harass you for Edmund McMillan's email address to get him on the show, because I'm a huge fan of Binding of Isaac, and I got to pick his brain for a little bit. So that's a future guest. right now announced nice. on the show. And if it doesn't happen, I will send you all Grigor's email address to harass him and say, why haven't you given Andy Edmund's email address yet? You want him on the show. So
I have a direct contact, so perhaps.
Yes. Listen, you can say, Edmund, these guys are great. Andy's hilarious. You'll love going on this show. I mean, you're not busy, right? You're not making any games. What are you working on? Just go on the show, talk about gross and goofy shit. It'll be a great time. Just one hour. Just 1 hour. So yeah, you guys have been around for a long time, a lot of games, a lot of our favorites, like you mentioned, Limbo and Binding of Isaac. Mm-hmm. White Shadows looks a lot like, it's like a 2.5D Limbo inside kind of a deal going on. Mm-hmm. Tell us about it. Because I think today was the first time I ever saw it. Because I was like, got to do research for the podcast. And it looks incredible. So tell me all about it.
Actually, it looks great. Unfortunately, I didn't play the last version. So the last one was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, the game is completely in black and white, or in mm-hmm. gray, of course. Mm-hmm. So otherwise, it would be a bit crazy. And it's a modern fable, very distorted. And it should be a mirror of our own world, being very sad, very crazy, but very funny as well. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, it shall be a meaningful game. So you will have fun just playing it and don't think about anything. But on the other hand, if you think about anything, you will see many. It's like a mirror of the real world, and with many critics about usual current things going on here, and they didn't know about Corona, but it's about the story is about what will happen after a big disease like Corona is.
Oh, and wow.
Of course, in the game, it's hopefully much more dark and bad as it will be in real life. But this is the foundation of the story in the game. And yeah, and you're playing as a little bird. There are many, linearities to George Orwell's Animal Farm.
Oh yeah, okay.
So there are the guys who tell everybody what to do by propaganda and by lies and whatever. And most of the guys are doing what they say, but the little Raven Girl, she's called, is breaking out of that line and wants to know what's going on there and wants to end all this shit because that's not what she wants to. It's not a world she wants to live in.
It's like funny. I got like watching the trailer, the Gamescom trailer. I got like that Orwellian sort of like future vibe from it, like with like the big lettering propaganda in the backdrop there, and just that. That washed out gray moody. It's like it's amazing how when you remove color from a game, it adds so much more depth to it. And you would think when you remove detail, it's suddenly less than, but like it says so much about what the game is trying to convey to the player. Mm-hmm. And yet there's still so much detail in the actual animations, the assets and the graphics. And I think it says a lot what you can do with so little.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's a really big world actually. So you are just walking around in 2D, like in Inside or in Limbo, but there are cinematics in it with the cameras going completely through a gigantic room and stuff like that. So everything's made in 3D, but you are just playing in 2D and mostly at least walking in one line and can jump and grab things like in Limbo and Inside. But if you know those games, you know how crazy things can get, actually. Mm-hmm. And I'm expecting quite the same here with White Shadows, and I'm very sorry, and I'm very intrigued to see more of the game. So I absolutely have to play the new version,
the next now. Build, yeah. And this is specifically a next gen title. I think I just saw PS5, Series X, and PC. Not for
right. Yeah. And perhaps afterwards we will see if it will make any sense anymore to put it to the last gen version. Mm-hmm. But for now, it's aimed for those versions, and then we have to see how this will unfold, and if we will bring it to other platforms as well.
You know, that actually leads to an interesting thought I just had. Does the current supply of next-gen consoles, PS5, mm-hmm. Series X, does that impact your decision-making, saying, all right, well, we know that it's a very tight supply and it's huge demand, and they're not going to restock until, I think, UK, it's sometime next year. They're not going to mm-hmm. get any more PS5s, at least. You say, well, we can bring this game also to last-gen consoles because that's an audience with hundreds of millions of units that we can potentially make some sales off of? Or do we keep this optimized in the best possible way, built from the ground up for next gen? Just how do you balance those two thoughts?
Actually, it's not that often that we have such
that problem
where two that problem actually. We did bring our first games to next gen already. So Original Doctor, The Walking Dead, mm-hmm. also is out for Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5. PlayStation mm-hmm. 5 came I don't know, 3 days ago, four mm-hmm. days ago, not too long ago actually. And it's of course it's difficult when the new consoles were announced. There wasn't clear that there's such a small number of them. Mm-hmm. So actually, everybody went through them, of course.
Yeah.
So it's a new hardware. Ooh, we can do shiny stuff there. But I think it won't be too hard to scale things a bit back to bring it to the last gen consoles as well. Mm-hmm. Or actually, they are nearly the current one because the next gen is
I've had this conversation. I will point to you, stop calling it next gen, and we'll point to you, start calling it current gen, because it's only been about a month or so. This is now current gen? Yeah, sure, why not?
And there are so many guys who are still waiting for it. Here in Germany, we had a big problems with some of the shops here. Mm-hmm. So many people pre-ordered it when the announcement for the PS5 was done. And there are many guys I know actually that pre-ordered in time and directly after that announcement, but didn't get it until now, and won't get it this year anymore. So this is really hard for them, of course. Mm-hmm. I hope this will be better in the future. Actually, I was very lucky. I have my PS5 at home.
I know. I feel like it's like,
and I love it.
Guilt. I feel like I shouldn't own one. It's like,
yeah,
so many people don't have it and can't get their hands on it. I'm like, I have it.
Yeah, that's right.
And
I don't want to tell you, but I have it.
The worst part is, Gregor, is like, I don't think I deserve it. I'm an asshole and deserve good things.
Yeah, I think.
Speaking of things I think I don't deserve, this next game, which looks amazing and it's too beautiful for my eyes to even describe, Aerial Knights Never Yield.
Mm-hmm.
The art style, the music. Tell us all about this game. What is it, and why should we all look forward to it when it comes out?
Yeah, it's a narrative 3D runner. So mm-hmm. you have a story. Also about people who have more power than you are doing bad things, and you have to change that actually. So in this case, it's Detroit, and the main character will find out some clues about the guys from the government are doing shit, and then the first thing he's doing is running away from them, and it will be what is it called, a runner game, yeah. Mm-hmm. And completely in line with the music and the sound, and it's made by a guy from Detroit again, and it is, let me check, sorry, it's Neil Jones, also called as Aerial Knight, because that's the reason for the game is called Aerial Knights Never Yield. Mm-hmm. Actually. And he's an 3D artist, and tries to get many things implemented in the game from roots from people of color, which I find very interesting. Mm-hmm. And that's roughly the game, I think.
Yeah, just, you know, we don't see a lot of games like this anymore, like games like Vector or Cannibalt, like those type of games. Mm-hmm. And again, like the first thing, the art style gets you, and then when that jazz music kind of sets in, it's like it all just marries together so perfectly.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I'm it's like
something new we never saw before, I think. Mm-hmm. Or at least not often. And now it's a good combination of just running, avoiding obstacles, mm-hmm. jumping, and get in a flow there, and mm-hmm. Listen to the great music.
It's like a little
at the same time
Mirror's Edge, like parkour stuff going on in that trailer. And I was watching, and I was like, who the hell is Aerial Knight? Why does he get a game? Like, why can't we do? If I had a game, I would call it like Andy Asimakis's Always Surrender.
Actually, when the release will come closer, you should ask him for being another guest in your show, because he's a really fun guy.
I love it.
I talked to him a few times and saw him in other podcasts, and had much fun just watching him. So
you know, this is actually a lesson I should take notes for myself and for Steve when he comes back on the show next week. Reach out to publishers more, because they know developers who can just be like, hey, go on this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're telling you to go on this podcast. Because it's like, I usually look for developers, you know, their Twitter, their contact mm-hmm. information, but like, idiot, just go to a big time publisher and see what they're working on. It's like, yeah, we have like 20 games we're working on. Cool.
Yeah.
I took 20 shows, booked, done, finished. I'm just a marketing arm for Head of Games.
Yeah. That's perfect.
Oh boy.
Yeah, he's a really cool one.
All right. I will definitely keep that in mind. So okay, I think we're getting to the point in the show where we've learned a lot about your work, the mm-hmm. games you've worked on, the games you're working on. But I think it's time we learn more about you and what makes you tick as a human being. And this is my favorite part of the show for many reasons. That's right. It is time for rapid fire questions. Yeah. I'm sure you are. Now, the first thing I want to ask you is, again, we're going to dive into this. You guys currently have on your website, a PS5 giveaway going on.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of a brag there, because I have one, plus I'm giving one away. That's how many we have. So my first question is, can I have it? And I will definitely not put it on eBay and sell it for $2,000.
Well, I don't think so. Because if it's a giveaway, we should give it away to the one who will get it. And
Right. And I think before we get into the rapid fire questions proper, you should mention to our listeners how they could enter for a chance to win this PS5 mm-hmm. on your website right now. So tell us.
Actually, I have to check myself.
This is PR, folks. PR manager. Yeah,
but PR is not a community. We have another dedicated community manager.
Ah. You
should ask him.
So throw that guy under the bus. It's his fault. All right. So while you get that information, we can, at the end of the show, mention that we'll tie things in a nice little bow.
So while your website, I'm sure.
I'm pretty sure it says on the top. I'm looking at it right now. It says we're giving away a PS5. Enter giveaway.
Is it headupgames.com? I don't think so. Because I'm quite surprised right now.
Oh, that could be an ad I'm reading. That's on your website.
Aha. But we shouldn't actually have ads on our website as well. Anyway, yeah. Let's discuss this afterwards.
All right. I'll send you a screen cap and you'd be like, what the fuck's that doing there?
You won't get it.
So bottom line is what I'm really asking is you're not going to give me a PS5. That's what I really want to ask you. And the answer is no. Great. Get off my show. Moving on. Pineapple on pizza. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, we're very like enthusiastic. Yes,
yeah, I like pizza with some fruit and whatever on it. On ananas, for example,
I
love it.
Yeah, I think
so. Why not pineapple?
I think we should let the record show that Grigor is not giving me a PS5. Plus, he likes pineapple on pizza. He is now the worst guest ever on this show. For now, more than one reason. The next question. Would you rather have the power of flight or invisibility?
Invisibility.
Okay, now I like you a little bit more. You're my kind of guy now. What word best describes you when you're drunk?
Funny.
Oh, I like how it's a good question. Like, are you asking me that? Okay. Is it you think you're funny? Your perception is I'm so funny when I'm drunk. It's like, God, get the bottle out of Grigor. And also, listeners, he's drinking right now on the show. He has a beer as we speak.
Oh, no, not really.
Perhaps. What's a body part that you wouldn't mind losing?
Oh, that's a good one. I don't know, my small finger. I need my other fingers for playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I almost lost my thumb the other day. So there's that going on. Yeah, I lopped off a chunk of it while I was trying to peel a potato, like a big dumb idiot.
But not
person.
Too much, I hope.
No, there's a small chunk. It's still I preserved it.
You can just play.
You're right. I can't. That's not problem. Now I'm like a mouse and keyboard boy. Now I'm like I've evolved. Like I can't do controllers for like a week or so. It just hurts too much. Yeah. All right. So,
okay.
Which is more preferable, being nice or being fair?
Nice, I think.
Well, speaking about me and my dumb, not really. Speaking about me and my dumb thumb injury, what's the dumbest way you've ever injured yourself?
There are many things. I think the dumbest was I jumped in a swimming pool. Mm-hmm. With my arms on my back,
okay,
and dived until the ground, and then I crashed hardly on my head.
Oh my god!
I don't know why I did that, and it was quite deep, so I think 3 meters or so. But
sure.
Nevertheless, I just jumped there and crashed on the ground.
Oh my
came
god!
Up and just thought, oh god, are my legs are still going, or are they gone now? Do I feel anything there? And
wiggle your big toe.
There was blood right away running out of my head, and my girlfriend back then was totally. She was thinking my color of my hair was going out because she colored my hair a day before.
Oh said, my god!
Your color is going off. And I said no, it's not. Nope. Blood. I need help.
Has a really bad dye job. No, I'm bleeding to death. Get a bandage. Yeah. Get a towel. So yeah, this is actually we can springboard off this in a manner of speaking. What is worse to see in a pool, blood or piss?
It's both not good.
Like if you see a
answer would be yeah. Shit, but
you see a cloud of red or a cloud of yellow, which one do you prefer if you had a choice? You want to see a cloud of brown? That's option number three.
I would dive through both, I think. But worst would be piss, I think. I don't know.
Oh my god. All right, so you go with the blood for sure. Go with the blood. Would you rather invent something new or discover something new?
I think inventing is much more cool and successful in terms of getting money out of it. So inventing would be greater. Mm-hmm. And it comes out of your mind, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. I think it depends, you know, because some guy, we're told, invented Corona in a lab, so there's that. You could be that guy. Or like, you made the atom bomb. I invented, you know, atomic bombs.
No, not that a good idea.
What's the most ridiculous thing someone has tricked you into believing?
I don't know. A girl who cheated on me and I didn't know it for a month, perhaps. I don't know. Can't tell that.
Okay, okay.
Don't have any ideas.
That's fine. Is it okay to sleep with socks on?
For me, not, no. But if someone likes it, like my girlfriend, she shall be okay with that. So, but I can't sleep when I have something on my feet. So,
gotcha. Yeah, in the same way, it feels weird. Would you rather have your skin change color based on your emotions, or have tattoos appear all over your body that would depict exactly what you did the day before?
I would like the color, I think.
Yeah. Because at least you can get away with some
Bored day.
Right. They could be like, oh shit, Grigor is bored again. I can tell by his skin color.
Or busy. Or too busy.
It's like if your girlfriend asks, do you love me? Oh, I do. Then why is your skin not that right color it should be? You're lying to me. I know. Your skin is purple. What was your last thought before going to bed last night? Was it
perhaps your
Was it take these socks off?
Perhaps I thought about this actually, about this interview, because I hate interviews actually. But
you're natural, unless I'm the person that's bringing out your natural, like,
yeah, it's getting better. It's
right,
getting better, but usually
I like to instill really confidence nervous in people. Because yeah, I'm a train wreck, so if I can make someone else confident, that's fine. I'm all about that.
I think it was about put off all my alarms on my smartphone, because that's very important on a weekend, actually.
You know, like even right now, I think my phone, my ringer is on high, and I'm like, let's get through the interview without the phone going off, and we'll see what happens. Who is your favorite cartoon character and why?
It's a long time ago. Woody Woodpecker.
Oh, that's a great one. That's really good. I love it. So we got Time Splitters in this interview and Woody Woodpecker. This is now one of my favorite shows, easily. What do you think people notice the most about you?
That's critical to talk about someone by yourself. Mm-hmm. I think most of the people I get to know think I'm a nice guy, and that's I'm really proud of. I don't know.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, perhaps he's drunk again.
God. Every day is Oktoberfest for Grigor.
Yeah. No, not really. Shouldn't be so good. But actually, most of our guys in our company like to drink beer very much. So everybody who knows guys from Head Up know us with a bottle of beer in our hand at every trade fair.
excluding, of course, Time Splitters. If you were able to publish or to get the publishing rights to a new game, a game that's been a long dormant franchise, which franchise would that be that you would like to publish and work on? And do PR for, of course.
That's really difficult. There are too many good games for thinking about other ones, actually. Perhaps GoldenEye. So it goes in the same direction. Mm-hmm. But there were GoldenEye games recently and they weren't good. A new Command and Conquer for consoles, perhaps.
Ooh, okay.
No RTS games on console, really.
Yeah.
That would be quite intriguing for me. Mm-hmm. I think. I'm a total console guy, I have to admit, and don't play on PC.
Yeah,
otherwise, I would play many of those games, but I don't.
Yeah. You know, that's a good we can mention. Like, did you see that the Hitman developer now, IO, is doing a James Bond game?
Mm-hmm.
That's actually pretty... That's like the perfect coupling. Like, yeah. You're going to pick someone to work on a 007 game.
Yep.
Let it be those guys. I am so excited about that one.
Let's see.
Yeah, let's see how that works out. And I think the last question I want to ask you before we wrap up for today, Grigor, is what advice would you give to the current PR manager of CD Projekt Red?
Actually, besides, I know him. At least the German one.
Oh, you know him. Yeah, besides, I think I know him. Besides, put down the knife. It's going to be okay. What would you tell him?
Keep calm. But I think he's very professional, so he is very calm, no matter what comes. Kick your development team and show good results. I don't know. I can't tell, actually. But we talked about it already, and I think they are doing a good job mm-hmm. despite all the bugs they have.
Yeah.
So this will be a success nevertheless.
Right. I mean, yeah, I think the success sales-wise, that was always a guarantee for them. Just now you have to ride this storm out more or less. And quickly.
I really hope that they won't get in any dispute with Sony now and will quit the PS4 and PS5 versions in the future. That would be really bad for me, actually.
Yeah, that is not a smart move to make if they're considering that. It's just that's a massive chunk of your audience that you can't turn your back on.
Yeah. They shall just go through it and stand it and bring some good news in the next future. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they should. They have to do.
All right.
There's no other chance, actually.
And then give me his email address when we're done here so I can talk to him and lay into him for about an hour and a half. All right. That brings us to the end of the Dual Screens podcast. We have one more left for the year. We're almost done. This is so exciting. There's no break for us, though. I don't know what I'm excited about because I'm going to go into next week, into next year, but who gives a shit? But thank you for listening. Thank you. Grigor, you've been an amazing guest, very insightful. You're a lot like me in my job. You're like the backbone because without the cheerleaders and the marketing team to really get the word out, it's hard to make a game successful because it's like you need to sell it and you're fighting for so much space.
Like, and it's getting harder every day.
It is every single day. But you guys have been around for a long time. You've been around for a lot much longer.
Yeah.
So where can we follow Head Up Games and all of your upcoming releases? Give us all the PR spiel, the Twitter handles, the Discords, the Facebooks, Instagrams. Give us all that right now.
I think you can find everything with just Head Up Games in one word on Twitter and on YouTube, for example. Then we have, of course, a website called headupgames.com. And I think you can find our our Discord server on Twitter as well. Not sure about that, but I'm pretty sure. Or at least on our website and at the very bottom of the site. And I think that's actually most. I think we're on Instagram as well. Should be Head Up Games as well. If you search for us, you will find us definitely.
All right. And also, correction, they are not giving away a PS5. That's my big dumb brain. I just saw an ad and I was like, shit, asking about the PS5. Well, thank you, Grigor. It's been a blast talking to you. It's been amazing as always. You were great. All of your words were understandable.
I hope so.
I don't know what you were so worried about. This won't be the last time we speak on this show because now once you come on the first time, it's like the cherry's been popped and we'll bring you back at some point in the new year. I look forward to it. But in the meantime, listeners, stay tuned to dualscreens.com for more exciting interviews just like this one. And I'll let Stephen handle the whole housekeeping stuff. I'm worn out. So with that, take care. I'll see you guys soon.